Scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 6, and we look at verses 22 to 27, and our text is actually verses 24, 25, and 26, but we'll read altogether verses 22 to 27, and that's page 215 in your pew Bible. Page 215 from the book of Numbers. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." The word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today I complete my series on the church. Yep, it's time to wind this thing down. And what better way to conclude this series than by considering the Lord's blessing, the Lord's benediction upon the church. Today we talk about that. We covered a lot of material in this series. Seven sermons altogether so far. We talked about what the church is. The church is the people of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gathered together for worship. And so here we see the essence of the church. The church is very much a visible thing. It's physical. You can see the church. And no doubt it's important. Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching." We talked about the purpose of the church. The church gathers to praise God, and so the arrow points up. The church gathers to be blessed by the Word and by the Spirit, and so the arrow points down. And the church gathers as well so that we might be the powerhouse of the kingdom, and so the arrows point outward as well. Filled by the Holy Spirit here, we go out so that we might be a blessing at home and at school and in the workplace and in the public office and everywhere else. Filled by the Holy Spirit here, we go out as well to evangelize. We spread the gospel so that others might be saved as well. Last time we were together, we talked about the church's number one task, worship. We talked about how worship is a divine dialogue between God and his people. And so in worship, God speaks and the people respond, and back and forth we go. And the last word the Lord speaks to his people is the blessing, or what we commonly call the benediction. What better way to conclude our series on the church than to ponder on the Lord's benediction upon the church? Let me begin by saying that in the Reformed tradition, the Lord's benediction is no small thing. It's important. For us, worship is not complete, really, without it. But maybe you've noticed that not all Christian traditions include a benediction. Some churches don't. Maybe you've noticed that visiting somewhere, attending a different church. They may have singing and prayers and an offering. They have a sermon, but then suddenly the service is over and there's no benediction. And for us Reformed types, when we see that, we wonder, wait a minute, what happened to the benediction? Where's the benediction? No benediction? Yep, some denominations don't have it, especially in the evangelical community. Now, not all churches have the same reason, but more often than not, it's associated with the idea that the benediction, that's just tradition. It's just a bunch of words, and it doesn't really mean anything. And along the same lines, there's also sometimes there's this fear of presumption, or maybe even of superstition. Who does the minister think he is that he can just pronounce, poof, an actual blessing upon God's people? The church doesn't practice magic, does it? We ought not to practice magic in the church, should we? There's enough superstition out there as it is. And so there are some churches out there that want nothing to do with the benediction. But we do have the benediction here. We do. We do because for us, worship is definitely a dialogue between God and his people. Worship is a time where God speaks. We need to appreciate this. God speaks. So notice then, the sermon in the worship service, that's not just someone from the congregation talking about God. No, it is God himself talking to his people. According to Scripture, worship is a divine dialogue. Look at the Bible. Look at Psalm 115, which we looked at last week. God speaks, the people respond. God speaks, the people respond. And it just so happens to be that one of those moments when God speaks is in the benediction. So this is not tradition, this is not magic or superstition or tradition, this is the plain teaching of Scripture. So while we certainly don't want to do more than what Scripture commands when it comes to worship, we don't want to do less either. One of the important parts of worship is the benediction. With that, how about we look at the oldest benediction that we have in Scripture, the Aaronic blessing, Aaron's blessing given to us in the book of Numbers. Let's talk about that first. Where's the benediction found? Sure, it's found in the book of Numbers. Numbers, you understand, is one of the books of Moses. And Moses, he lived in a time when Israel left Egypt, right, and then made their way towards the promised land. In the wilderness, after they leave Egypt, people gather for worship at the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle again? The tabernacle was basically a huge tent for God. As the people would camp their way towards the promised land, so would God. So to speak, God's tent was the tabernacle. In the book of Numbers, God lays out a lot of rules for tabernacle worship. He lays out rules for the various pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. He lays out rules for the offerings and the Passover and the other worship activities that take place at the tabernacle. He also lays out rules for the worship leaders, the Nazarites, the Levites, and the priests. It's in Numbers 6, verse 22 and following that we find these words. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Congregation, you appreciate that this passage is really rather old. This passage was not written just 2,000 years ago when Christ still walked the earth. No, no. This passage of Scripture was written some 1,500 years before that. So this passage is some 3,000, 500 years old. For some 3,500 years, people have been receiving this benediction at the conclusion of their worship services from the Lord. Aaron, Moses' brother, was the first to do it. Then his sons followed in his footsteps, and then the other priests after them throughout the centuries. And so the benediction was given in the tabernacle. It was given in the temple when Israel finally settled in the land of Canaan. It continued after the temple was gone. It continued after the exile when the Jews gathered in their local synagogues. And since the early Christians first met in the Jewish synagogues, they carried on that biblical tradition as well. And the Christian church has been doing it ever since. Wow! So we're talking a very long and venerable history here. Congregation, with that, allow me to note four things about the benediction as it is practiced in the Christian church today. Four things I want to note. Allow me to note where the benediction belongs, who gives it, what it actually says, and how we receive it. Where the benediction belongs, who gives it, what it actually says, and how we receive it. Let's start from the top. Congregation, where does the benediction rightfully belong? The benediction rightfully belongs in the worship service. Maybe that goes without saying, but then again, allow me to stress the point. The blessing is not meant to be pronounced just anywhere. We don't pronounce it at the auto mall. So we don't pronounce over your brand new car, "The Lord bless you and keep you." We don't pronounce such a blessing over the cornfields, over the animals in the barn. No, we pronounce the benediction over the church, God's people. That's who the blessing is for, and the most ideal place is the worship setting. So notice where we pronounce the blessing in worship. It's at the end of the worship service. In that regard, note the difference between God's greeting at the beginning and the benediction at the end. In the greeting, God greets his people. He says, "Grace to you and peace. I'm glad you're here." That's basically what he says. Notice, too, how in the greeting, the minister ordinarily raises only one hand. Don't know if you noticed that before. The idea is that the grace given is meant for the service. In the benediction, the minister usually raises both hands. That's because the blessing that is given is meant for everything else outside of the worship service. It's meant to supply the believer for the whole week ahead, indeed, all of life ahead. And so the church gathers to praise and to receive God's blessing so that we may go out and be a blessing everywhere else. We move on to talk about now who gives the benediction. Congregation, who gives the benediction? It's the one ordained and set apart by God for that task. It was certainly this way in the Old Testament. Not just anyone gave the benediction. No, the priest did in the Old Testament. Numbers 6, verse 24. There we read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how they are to bless the Israelites.'" So notice that. Not even Moses could do it. No, only Aaron and his sons gave the benediction. In the New Testament, that responsibility is fulfilled, and it's given to the ordained minister of the word. Sometimes there are exceptions to that rule, but those are only exceptions, and the exceptions are laid down in our church order. But you get the point. As only a police officer is allowed to give people speeding tickets, As only doctors are allowed to hand out prescriptions, as only a judge can put you in jail, so in the institutional church, only is the minister allowed to pronounce the blessing upon God's people. In that regard, have you ever noticed how when our elders do a reading service, sometimes we can't get a preacher in, and so an elder has to lead the service and read a prepared sermon, right? Maybe you've never noticed this, but when the elder leads the service, never does the elder pronounce the benediction. What does he do instead? What he does instead is he prays for one. He asks God for a blessing. Basically, what he says is he prays this way, Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May you make your face to shine upon us. He doesn't declare a benediction. No, he asks for one in prayer. It's our way in the Reformed tradition of respecting that idea that only those ordained for the task should pronounce the Lord's benediction upon God's church. So we talked about where the benediction ideally belongs, worship. We talked about who gives it, the office bearer, the minister set apart for the task. We move on to look at the benediction itself. We look at its content now. What blessing do we actually receive? Maybe it's helpful if we have it up on the screen now at this time. The words of the benediction. The words are really deep and profound. Notice, first of all, congregation, how the benediction is clearly not a prayer. We don't ask for a blessing here. No, it's simply given. It's a statement. It's a statement of fact. In the same vein, neither is the benediction a hope or a wish. We don't say, I hope the Lord will bless you and keep you. No, the wording is very straightforward. Look at the wording. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. You follow? The blessing is simply given. It's pronounced. Let's look at the substance a little closer now. Congregation, if you look at the wording closely, you'll notice that the benediction has three parts. There's basically three lines to it. And each line, it begins with the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. There's this stress on God's name in our text. And that's on purpose. In the verse that immediately follows the benediction, the Lord says to Moses, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. I guess that's exactly what happens in the benediction. In the benediction, the name of the Lord is spoken out and his name is put on the people. This is really profound, if you think about it. Maybe you didn't know, but the name of the Lord and the Lord himself are virtually the same thing in Scripture. The Lord and his name are one. You can't separate them. That's why we're not allowed to take the Lord's name in vain. Because when we take the Lord's name in vain, we take God himself in vain, which is a very scary thought, right? And so when his name is put on the people in the benediction, the Lord himself is put on the people. That's what happens. Isn't that something? Isn't that awesome? God puts himself on the people. It's noteworthy that the Lord's name is mentioned three times. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you. A reference to the Trinity? We cannot be certain, but That's what happens nonetheless. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are put on the people. That's why in the New Testament, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are often mentioned in the blessings and the benedictions that are given there. All three persons are made to rest on the people of God. Notice what else is in our text. The first line says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." There's this whole idea of keeping and protecting us. God's providence, His care. The second line says, "The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." There's this whole idea of standing before His face, talking to Him, and the Lord shining His face on us. Makes me think of the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." Maybe you didn't know this, but the literal translation of the first commandment is this: "You shall have no other gods before my face." Face is actually in the wording of the first commandment. What doesn't God want? God doesn't want all these gods in front of His face. "You shall have no other gods before my face." And why doesn't God want all these gods before His face? Because what He wants instead is us. He wants us to be face to face. Nothing in between. And that's what happens when we worship. And so in the benediction, God declares it. "The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." The Lord shines His face on us. Like He did with Moses on Mount Sinai, remember? Remember how Moses' face turned all bright and shiny? That's what happens really to us in the benediction. And then there's that third line. There we read, "The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." In the benediction, we receive His peace. Shalom. That's the Hebrew word there, shalom. It means we have reconciliation, we have rest, we have order, we have relationship with God. Not that we won't experience hardship or sickness or even death, no. But underneath it all, we've got something rock solid. We've got our God. We've got His presence in our lives. God is laid on top of His people. Wow. Awesome. These are the blessings we receive in the benediction. One last thing to consider. We talked about where the benediction rightfully belongs, worship. We talked about who gives it, the ordained minister of the word. We talked about its content. Wow. Lastly, we talk about how we receive it. How does the benediction come on us so that it actually sinks in and is a blessing to us? Well, one thing is for sure, the benediction is not received just automatically. I said earlier that some evangelical churches don't have a benediction because too many people think there's magic or something involved, as if the minister can just pronounce a blessing and poof, you're blessed. Like it or not. Well, they are right about one thing. The benediction isn't magic. It's not magic. And so we need to be clear about how we do receive a blessing in the benediction. We receive the blessing only by faith. It's by grace through faith. That goes for everything else in the service, right? Some people think just sitting in the pew gives you a blessing. Well, it doesn't. Some people think getting splashed with some water gives you a blessing. Well, not if it doesn't get completed by faith. Same for communion. You can eat and drink all you want from the bread in the cup tonight, but if it's not accompanied by faith, it does absolutely nothing. Everything is by grace, through faith. The benediction is no exception. That's why the call of the gospel is so important in our worship. We need to know Christ. We need to turn to Christ. He alone saves. He alone blesses. He did it all. And we need that relationship with Him by grace, through faith. And it's in committing ourselves to Him, trusting ourselves over to Him, that's how we face the benediction. We say in our hearts, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need You. You're my Savior. I trust You. I love You. I will follow You. Now, by Your grace, declare Your blessing to me by Your word. And by grace through faith, that's how we receive it. And we receive it bountifully. We may count on it. We may count on it with all of our confidence. God blesses by grace through faith. A comment then on our posture when we receive the benediction. How must we stand when we receive the blessing? Often when I look around during the benediction, I see people doing it in different ways, receiving it in different ways. Some look up, some look down. And then there are others, well, they don't do anything. Well, they're putting on their coats, I guess, and they're cleaning up their candy wrappers. Let's agree the benediction is not a time for that. But what do we do with our eyes in the benediction? Do we keep them open or do we keep them closed? Do we look up or do we look down? Technically, we keep them open and we look up. Maybe you're surprised by that, but it makes sense. Remember, the benediction is not a prayer. No, it's a pronouncement. God is talking to you. And as we don't close our eyes for the call to worship, or the assurance of pardon, or God's will for our lives, or even for the sermon, neither do we close our eyes for the benediction. God is talking to you. Well, maybe that still feels a bit weird to you. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you were taught maybe to, I don't know, look down, whatever. Maybe you feel apprehensive to look up to receive the benediction. Maybe to you that feels disrespectful to look up. Maybe you feel unworthy. Who am I to look up to God? But you know, if you look at it that way, you know, no one is worthy to look up to God. In and of ourselves, we're not even worthy to stand in His presence at all, period, with eyes open or closed. How come we are able to stand in God's presence? It's all because of Christ. He opened the way. And so by faith in Him, all my sins are washed away and I can freely come right into His presence. I may boldly come even with my eyes open. So this is how we need to picture this. In worship, we are face to face with God. We look to Him and He shines His face on us. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Psalm 27, verse 8. My heart says to You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And so that's what we do. That's what we are all invited to do. You may do this. You look up. Not on our own strength. There's no strength here. No, it's all Christ. He did it all. He died. He arose. He's on the throne. And so we boldly seek His blessing. He longs to give it. And He gives it in great measure by His grace. So this is why the church exists. This is why the church gathers. We gather to praise His name. We gather to receive His blessing so that we may go and let her light shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's come.